Today's reading is from John chapter 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." But when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that the disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. At this time, we're going to play a little game. Name that tune. And so take a listen and see if this sounds familiar.
Thank you, Candy, for reading for us. That was great scripture reading. She's pretty cool, pretty cute too. Thanks for doing that for us. And does anybody recognize that song? If you're familiar with that song, it was a show that I used to watch when I was growing up. It was called Mission Impossible, and then it was made into a series of movies starring Tom Cruise. So if you know anything about that song, you probably knew exactly what it was right away. but that show, what it's about, is a special group of special forces, and they're given a mission, and it's really hard. In fact, you might even say it's impossible. The missions that they have are extremely difficult, mission impossible, and then they're told to do it. What gets me every time with that is when they have the mission, it's like a little recording that's going to self-destruct in 5 seconds afterwards. But what the person given the mission always says is, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is. And then it goes into this very difficult mission. And usually what the mission is something extremely, extremely important. Something major is going on. And this group of special forces, the Impossible Missions Force, need to fix something in order to make the world better. And can you just imagine as you're watching that they have the message, your mission, should you choose to accept it, and they go through it, and the guy listening to the message is saying, oh, you know what, it's way too risky. I just think I'm going to go home. Or have you ever been in a movie theater and watching a movie, and it's an interactive movie? Have you ever been in a theater like that? And he gives the spiel and says, your mission, if you choose to accept it. You imagine people in the movie theater with you, no, just go home, be safe, and, you know, that's okay. No, we've never seen that happen. We never responded that way, right? We're always thinking, yeah, they have to do this, or else this is going to happen. This is really important for them to do it. Even though it's risky, they need to accept this mission to do it. And I think the reason that is like that is when we're looking at things from the outside, we're thinking, yeah, I want to do something really, really important. I want to do something that makes a difference. And a few weeks ago, Pastor Mark was talking through John chapter 15, another great passage in the book of John. And Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And if with me, you will bear much fruit, and fruit that will last. And I think as we're living our lives, isn't that what you want? To get to the end of your days and say, I did something that really made a difference. I did something that's going to impact eternity. And I don't know about you, but when I get to the end of my life, I don't want to be there and say, what have I done? What I've lived all of these years, and what good has it done? What's going to last? Where's it going to go? So I think hidden deep down in the depths of our soul is a longing for us to do something significant with our lives. And if we really look inside there, we can say, yes, I want to make a difference for eternity. Making a difference for eternity means living for Jesus and following out his mission. So that's what I want to talk about today. We're looking at who is Jesus through the book of John. And today I want to talk about Jesus as the mission giver. He's the one when you hear the tape, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is this. That's who Jesus is. He made us for a reason. He wants to use us to make a difference for eternity. But then when I start to think about that, it gets a little scary, all right? We're going to take a look at a passage, and throughout Scripture, all throughout the pages of Scripture, God, the mission giver, and now in this passage, Jesus as God, right, the mission giver, gives out a mission to people. So all throughout the pages of Scripture, and over and over and over and over again, you see the same kind of thing. People have objections, like, what is an objection is saying, hold on, I don't think I can do this. Or hold on, I don't know about this. So that's an objection. So you think about it in a courtroom, right? Objection, Your Honor. Say, no, stop. I don't want to do that. I don't want you to do that. So that's kind of what an objection is. So that's kind of what we're talking about here today. Is Jesus is the mission giver, just like in so many passages of Scripture. This time, it's with Peter. He's going to give Peter a mission, and this whole story kind of talks through objections that he might have for carrying out this mission. And when we take a look at this, what I want to do today is for you to put yourself in Peter's shoes and think, first of all, is Jesus giving me a mission? And then as you think about that, what are some of my objections? Well, in this passage here in John chapter 21, Jesus does give Peter a specific mission. And then through it, we see three separate objections that could come up in our heart, that could have come up in Peter's heart, but Jesus addresses each and every one of them. So as we take a look at this, let's dive into this passage here, take a look at it, and we're going to find out what it means to follow Jesus as the mission giver. Before we dive into God's word, I'd like to say a word of prayer. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you, even though we're not in the same room together, that your word cannot be stopped. And you want your word to go out today. And I pray that it would go to ready hearts, that that you would change our hearts. And when I say our, my heart needs change too, Father. And I pray that you would fill me with your spirit and speak through me today. And use this message to further your kingdom and to bring you glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, Peter was given a mission. So here's how it went. This was after Good Friday, after Easter, the last chapter in the book of John. So Jesus had already died, already risen again. Everybody had seen him. And now Peter and everybody is kind of like, what do we do now? And if you ever think about it like that, Jesus rose from the dead, and he didn't go into heaven until 40 days after that. And then the Spirit didn't fall at Pentecost until after that. So you've got a good couple months almost where they're just kind of saying, what do we do now? And these disciples, they weren't expecting this. You can see through the whole crucifixion and resurrection stories, they weren't expecting this, and definitely Peter was not. So they went back home, and if you're anything like me, when you don't know what to do, you do what you know, right? Is that kind of what happens? You just kind of do what you know what to do, and you ever been there just like, I don't know what to do, so I got to do something. So they went back home, which was Galilee, and they were sitting around, and Peter's like, I'm just kind of, I can imagine, kind of just tired of sitting around. Let's go fishing. Because you remember, a lot of the disciples were fishermen. So a group of the disciples went out fishing one night. And they spent, like it says here, they spent the night fishing. And they caught nothing. And I'm not much of a fisherman. I'm kind of glad about that. But I know some of you listening are. And if you spend a whole night fishing, and if it were me and I lost sleep, which I love my sleep, you can ask my wife that especially, and I hadn't catch any fish, you would probably be encountering a grumpy man. So that is probably what would be happening. But if you can imagine, they were fishing and they didn't catch anything all night, and they see this random guy at the shore that says, hey guys, how's the fishing going? And he fully knows what's going on. And they, you know, he said, haven't you had any fish? And they said, no. And I can probably imagine, yeah, thanks. Thanks for your help, buddy. But then the guy from the shore says, why don't you put your net on the other side? And can you imagine just thinking, I've been here all night, and you're just going to be the peanut gallery telling me how to do things. And so they do it, and then instantly it's filled with fish. And a light bulb goes on. One of the disciples, we find out later, it's John, says, it's got to be the Lord. And Peter, Mr. Impulse, right? He gets on something a little bit warmer and jumps into the water, even though they're about a football field away from the shore. He said, I don't want to wait for the boat. And he swam to the shore because he knew it was Jesus. And as he got there, it was a little bit different. And I want to talk about that a little bit. But Jesus went through his mission. Peter came up and he wanted to talk to Peter. and he wanted to give him his mission, all right? But I just want to put you, I want to put yourself in this setting. There's a fire burning. There's fish getting cooked on it. Jesus is sitting there cooking for these guys, and Peter comes up, and the mission is given. All right, and we're ready to take a look at that. It's starting in verse 15. It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? And I think what he was asking, there's a lot of context behind this, and I'm going to get to it, but saying, do you really love me more than these guys love me? And he said, yes, Lord. He said, you know that I love you. And then Jesus gave the mission. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Same thing, saying it over again, same mission. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Here's the mission, Peter, should you choose to accept it. Feed my sheep. All right? So three times here, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. It's the same thing. It's being a shepherd. And the amazing thing is when you read the book of 1 Peter, Peter talks about an elder should be one that shepherds a sheep. So I think this message got home to him to be a leader of the people, which was like a shepherd of the sheep. But I love this passage because Jesus is the mission giver. And he gives Peter a specific mission. And I want to think about this a little bit. Is this only for Peter or is this for us too? Well, I'm a strong believer that Jesus calls each and every one of us to a specific mission. It's just a matter if we are listening or not. I got a couple of passages that I printed out that I want to talk about. First of all is in the book of Jeremiah. And once again, God or Jesus, the mission giver, all throughout the pages of Scripture, he goes to individual people and gives them a mission. But in the book of Jeremiah, it's the same kind of thing. The word of the Lord came to me saying, this is Jeremiah 1:4, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, I'm thinking about that. So Peter was standing on the shore. Jeremiah had the word of the Lord came to him, which I don't know fully what that means, but I kind of do. Because I think God still speaks to us today. But the point is this for us? Is this for me or is this just for Peter and Jeremiah? I want to look at that Jeremiah passage again and say, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And everybody listening to me today, I really want to drive this home. Every single one of you has been specially made by God. I think this verse, Jeremiah 1:5, applies to every single one of you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Now, I firmly believe that. I believe that God, even before we were born, knew who we were. He knows all things. Makes us how we are, personality, gifts, abilities, and he forms us for a mission. And then you look at the end of verse 5, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Well, that's specifically talking about Jeremiah. So, yes, it's true. God has formed, whoever you're listening out there, God has formed you inside your mother for specific personality, gifts, abilities, purpose. What is that purpose? It's not up to me to tell you. If I would tell you, I would say, you need to work with the kids' ministries here at Scranton because you want to have an eternal impact. Let's reach our families. Let's reach our community so that we can reach their households and raise up a generation of leaders. I would say that to you. But hold on. I am not the mission giver. Who is the mission giver? That's Jesus. And I believe it's just as personal for all of us. So my question, are you listening? And I think there's a few levels that we can go at in life. The first level is just to say, what do I want to do with my life? What do I want to do today? What do I want to be? And that's taken God completely out of the equation. You hear that? I. And that is a problem because God made you. He knows you. He made you for a purpose. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he's going to use you for an amazing thing. So sometimes we step beyond that and think, oh, this is Jesus who died for me and rose for me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And that's another level. I'm doing this for him. I'm going to do that for the problem with that is now you're saying, it's great to serve God, but just to say, hey, I'm going to do this, that. What we should really be saying is, Jesus, you know me better than I know myself. What can I do for you? I have a child in my family that always comes up and asks, what would you like me to do for you? It's an amazing thing. And then sometimes you tell that person to do that. I'm not going to embarrass. And then they don't do it anyway, but sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But it's that attitude I love that they have. What would you like me to do for you? I think this is a moment by moment, day by day. It's not just big picture, what job do you want me to have? It's Jesus, what's my mission today? What's my mission this moment? I even think of the book of Acts with Philip where he hears by the Holy Spirit, go stand by this chariot, and he's able to share the gospel. I think it's a moment to moment giving yourself, and there's passages in the New Testament, present your body as living sacrifices. I have been crucified with Christ, so it's therefore I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So the first thing that I want to get across is that Jesus is giving you a mission. What is it? I don't know. Start listening to him. Ask him. Listen, read the scriptures. Ask people. A lot of people can help you on that journey too. It's not an isolated journey. It's a community journey to figure that out. And a lot of times we do things together, which is exciting. But if you want to make an impact in your life, fruit that lasts, impact for an eternity, start asking, Jesus, what have you made me for? What do you want me to do? And then you might have Jesus say to you, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is. And then we hear the mission, and then it's like, objection, right? I'm scared of doing that. And the very first objection we see here is with Peter. And let's just put ourselves in Peter's shoes, okay? He gets so excited to see Jesus, but then he gets on the shore, and there's a charcoal fire, there's a fire on the beach, there's food being cooked. And you ever have that deja vu? Oh, this reminds me of a place where I stood around a fire with Jesus. You remember where that was? It's right after Jesus got arrested, he was sneaking around. You know Jesus, don't you? No, I don't. And remember, we're going to go back to the night when Jesus was betrayed. The night Jesus was arrested, he was having his last supper. Let me bring these words back to you. He said, then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, listen to this, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. They're in Galilee right now, okay? So Jesus was predicting this moment. And you know what Peter said? Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Even if all kind of fall away on account of you, I never will. What was Jesus' first question? Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Can you imagine Peter at this point? right? And you know the rest of it. Jesus told him after that, this very night, you're going to deny me three times. So Peter said, if all fall away on account of you, I never will. And Jesus and Peter goes up to the same fire, maybe gets a little deja vu, and Jesus asks him, Peter, do you really love me more than these? What do you think is going through Peter's mind? Yes, Lord, I really love you. But he's thinking in the back of his head, I messed up. I messed up big time. When it was time for me to be there for my Lord, I lied three times, told people I didn't know him, just like he said I would. And what did Jesus say? Peter, do you love me more than these? And what Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. So did Jesus say, it's not what you said the other day, so get out of here, you're done. All right, just go. No, what did Jesus say? It's probably the most amazing thing. Feed my lambs. So the first objection that I often have when I hear Jesus say, will you do this for me? Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is I have objection. I'm a mess. I failed you. You know full well how I told you I was going to do X, Y, and Z, and I totally turned the other way and messed up and failed and sinned and lived in sin. I cannot do a mission for you. I want you to see what Peter said to Jesus, Jesus said to Peter. Isn't it interesting? Did you ever notice this? Three times he asked Peter, do you love me? Why do you think he did that? Because three times Peter denied him. It was like kind of restoring him here. But Jesus is so amazing. When Peter failed him, when Jesus was at his most vulnerable moment, and it said that they met eyes after that happened, when the rooster crowed, and Jesus had to be so, in his humanity, so disappointed at that point. To the effect that Peter went out and just bawled. Have you ever been there before where you know what you're supposed to do and you just totally drop the ball? And you just feel like I am a complete and utter failure. And you just, I've known that there's been points in my life where I've just bawled and realized it. Whether it be sin that grabs a hold of you or whatever it is, or you say, God, I'm going to do this for you, and you really mean it. But then you don't do it, and you just feel like, how am I ever going to face Jesus again? Can you imagine Jesus or Peter going up to Jesus at that time? But look, this is how Jesus is. If, and I should say, when you fail him, he says, here's your mission. So many times my objection is very honest in saying, I'm not worthy to do a mission for you. I have failed you in the past. I am full of sin. I have messed up time and again. Jesus says, here's your mission. Should you choose to accept it? So that's the first objection. And Jesus is so amazing about that, because He accepts us even when we failed before. So if you're sitting at home or wherever you're watching this, and you're thinking to yourself, I've messed up one too many times. Jesus will never use me again. I'm not even going to ask him. Ask him. You'll be surprised at the answer, at the acceptance, at the love that you hear from your Savior. So that's the first objection. Another common objection, I'm going to go back to Jeremiah again. Another common objection all the way through the Bible is, I can't do this. Mission impossible, right? It's impossible. There's no way that I can do this. Jeremiah said, after God said that to him, before I formed you in the womb and all of that, you know what Jeremiah said? Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. Just basically saying, I can't do it. And one of my heroes, one of the great men of faith in the Bible, is Moses. Remember when Jesus, in the burning bush, Jesus gave Moses a mission? He's the mission giver, right? What did Moses say? All right, I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go knock down Pharaoh's palace. And no, he came up with, I can't talk right. God says, I'll help you. But what if they don't believe me? Put your staff down, pick it back up. Well, what if they can do that and they don't believe that? Well, put your hand in your vest. Well, can't you just send my brother? Isn't that ever how you feel? You know what? If that's how you feel, you're in very good company, because Moses and multiple people in the Bible get their marching orders from the Lord and just say, you got the wrong guy. I can't do it. And that actually is a very good place to be, to say, I can't do it. Because Jesus was kind of setting this whole scene up with an object lesson. And that object lesson was, some friends went out to fish and didn't catch fish all night. And Jesus said, put your net on the other side. And then they were caught, and it says 153 large fish. And they did in moments what a whole night's work. They had nothing. Jesus wanted to give that object lesson. And I think it was in John chapter 15. Pastor Mark talked about that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit, fruit that will last. Jesus is saying, yeah, you're right. This is an impossible mission for you. But for us, we can do this. And that's what it's amazing, is now we're in a different age than this passage was. Now we have the Holy Spirit of God. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you to walk beside you, to help you make things possible, to do amazing things through you, right? And then Paul talks about that. We have this treasure in jars that shows that this power does not come from us, right? So we can't do it, but I'll rephrase that. I can't do that, but Jesus says, yes, you and I can, or you and the church can together. So this is this little object lesson. And if you're thinking and you hear a message from the Lord and think, there's no way I can do that, you're 100% correct. But you and Jesus, who knows what you can do? And Jesus equipped you. He made you. He's going to give you that mission, and he'll be with you. And I love the other object lesson as they get up on the beach and Jesus is there cooking fish. It's just, to me, it kind of shows that life carrying out Jesus' mission is going to be intimate. It's going to be in a relationship. It's going to be daily and close. It's not going to be a distant, a slave doing his master's bidding. It's a son with his father working together. It's a beautiful picture. So objection number one is, I'm not worthy. I've messed up so many times. Jesus knows that. He knows you better than you do, but he still wants to use you. Objection number two, you can't do it. You can't, but you and Jesus can. You and Jesus and the church can. And then the third objection Jesus brings up on his own. Look at verse 18. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Isn't that interesting? Glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. All right? So he's saying, do you love me? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And he goes through and he goes, by the way, when it's all done on this lifetime, they're going to lead you to your execution just like they did me. Follow me. And I think sometimes when we get marching orders from Jesus, we realize that it may be a difficult road. It may end up in suffering. It may end up in hurt. It may end up in risks and pain in this life. And it's going to be hard. And yes, it could be hard. And it just reminds me of another time somebody got marching orders. And this person, and we think about this, I'm going to talk about Isaiah chapter 6, okay? Isaiah gets his mission straight from God. And we like to look at this passage, but we forget kind of the other part. But let me explain this. Isaiah got to see God seated on his throne and all these angels, there are four living creatures and angels worshiping him, right? Holy, holy, holy. We sing songs like that. Isn't that amazing? And Isaiah says, I have unclean lips, right? I'm not worthy. I can't do it. So then they come and bring a coal. One of the angels brings a coal and says, you've been cleansed. And then God says it. Who shall I send? Who will go for us? And we all think about that. Here am I. Send me. And then we just finish the chapter and, oh, the rest doesn't really matter. But you know what the end, the rest of the chapter is? He says, basically, okay, Isaiah, here's your mission, should you choose to accept it. You're going to talk to a bunch of people, but I'm going to make it so they don't understand what you say. And I'm going to make it that their hearts are going to be hard and never listen to you. And all your talking on my behalf is going to lead to, look at Isaiah 6. It's going to lead to ruined cities, ruined fields. Your nation's going to be ruined. So can you just go and do my mission? It's not going to make any difference in anybody's mind, but just go do my mission. That's why I think Isaiah got to see that great vision, because his mission kind of didn't sound that great, did it? And a lot of those Old Testament prophets, they got beaten up and thrown into wells and killed and everything. And that's kind of what Peter's looking at here. Do what you want, and it's going to end in your execution, all right? And I think that's the objection, the third objection that we make. Hold on a second. This is going to hurt, isn't it? And Jesus oftentimes says, yeah, it's going to hurt. And it takes me back to my college football days. My old coach that I'm not going to call him old, he just retired, though. But I remember when we had a very difficult workout or a difficult, disappointing time, he would bring us around and say, men, Jesus never said it was going to be easy. He only said it was going to be worth it. Let me say that again. Jesus never said it was going to be easy. He only said it was going to be worth it. So sometimes carrying out Jesus' mission is going to bring heartache and pain and even execution in Peter's sense. But if you start to think of the blip of our life on this earth compared to eternity, do you want to suffer a little bit in this life to make a huge difference in eternity, or play it safe and be at the end of your days and say, what have I been doing here this whole time? And when you do serve Jesus and when you do carry out his mission, it's going to be over someday and it's going to be perfect forever and ever and ever. That's what you got to bank on. You got to think about not the here and now, this life. You got to be investing in that next life and say, is it going to be worth it? And Jesus talked about this to Peter and the disciples, right? If anyone would want to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Taking up your cross and following me is saying, even unto death, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. And then Jesus said, whoever wants to save his life, basically in this world, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will really find it. So life is best serving Jesus, and life is better in the end serving Jesus. And it goes back to that question, what do you want to do at the end of your life? Do you want to make a difference that makes lasts an eternity? Then listen to what Jesus said to Peter. follow me. All right? Then Peter was like, sweet, what about him? All right? And he said that he pointed to John. We find out this was John. John gives his identity away that he wrote this book. And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? You must follow me. It's all an individual choice for each of us. We're all on different paths. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. We're all going to have different missions. But that's the question that I want to pose today. Will you follow Jesus? Are you listening for his mission? Are you living your life thinking, what do I want to do for myself? Are you asking Jesus, what can I do for you? And then as we look at it and we think, I'm not worthy, I can't do it, it's going to cost me too much. Remember, Jesus accepts you right where you're at. He wants to do it with you, and he's going to make it worth it in eternity. Do you believe that? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. And Jesus, your kindness overwhelms me. None of us are worthy to live for you or serve you, but you want to walk step by step in this life with us and use us to make a difference. Father, help me overcome my fear. Help everyone that's listening to overcome their fear and walk with you and see where you're going to take them as the mission giver. And I pray now that you would continue to bless us, and even as we're in this time where it's weird and we're quarantined, that we would be tuning our ears in. Jesus, what would you have me to do for you? And I pray, and I know you will answer, help us to listen. Give us the courage to follow you wherever you go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.